Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And the title of the sermon this morning is What Satan Can and Can't Do. What Satan Can and Can't Do. You know, today the world has painted the picture of the devil as being this supernatural being that has the potential to be equal with God. You know, you have all these movies and these shows on television that try to capitalize on the character of Satan and try to basically depict him as someone who is waging war against God and has the potential to even beat God. Now, nothing could be further from the truth, because we've read the Word of God, we've read the last chapter, and we win, amen? But rather than that, God wins. And Satan, though he has power, though he has authority, though he has supernatural ability, can never supersede God in his power and his ability as well. We see Satan, even in the Bible, and Revelation chapter 20, being cast into the lake of fire. And you say, well, why is he here? What's the purpose of Satan? Well, he's simply a tool. Amen? And we'll get into that in just a little bit. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, if you would. What Satan can and can't do. What does he have the authority to do, and what is he not able to do? Now, I'll be honest with you, is that a lot of people in this world give Satan more credit than he really deserves. Even Christians will give Satan more credit than what he really deserves. You know, they blame Satan for the sins in their lives and for their stumblings and for their actions, when in actuality, it's their fault. Amen? Because of the fact that Satan is not our only enemy. Yes, he can tempt us, but you know, we also have the world and we have our own flesh. Okay? Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Lucifer is referring to what we know today as Satan. And he was an angel who was cast out of heaven, not permanently, because we see him in the book of Revelation, accusing the brethren before God day and night. But when he was basically kicked out of heaven, at that point he ceased being Lucifer, and now we know him today as Satan, the deceiver, that old serpent, the dragon. Go to Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12. Now again, we see him being cast out, but we also understand that he does have some access to heaven still. Why do we know that? Because look at Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, that's referring to Satan himself, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So keep this in mind, that what Satan does is he comes before God and he accuses us before God. When we sin, when we fall short of the glory of God, we always have Satan there accusing us before God. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's there to plead on our behalf. We understand that we can never lose our salvation. God does not remember our sins. He's cast them into the deepest part of the ocean, separated our transgressions as far as east is from west. It's under the blood, amen? So he's there to pray on our behalf, but this is the agenda of Satan. Now go back to John chapter 10. I'm going to give you just a brief synopsis of what we see here in John chapter 10 of what is the goal of Satan. What is he trying to do? What is his agenda here in this world? Look at verse number 10. The thief, referring to Satan, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So we see a threefold cord agenda by Satan, don't we? He's coming to steal, he's coming to kill, and he's coming to destroy. Now, why does it say this? Well, look at John chapter 10, verse number 1. First and foremost, we see that he's referred to as a thief. Why? Because he's coming to steal. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at John chapter 10, verse number 1. It says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, prior to John chapter 10 and chapter 9, who is he talking to? The Pharisees. And he's specifically telling the Pharisees, you're like a bunch of thieves. Why? Because you're seeking to enter in, not by the door. Who's the door? Jesus Christ. They're seeking to enter in, not by the door. They're trying to climb up some other way, as what? As a thief and a robber. You see, if anybody's trying to come into our house, and they don't try to do it through the door, we automatically think they're trying to rob us. They're trying to steal from us. They're thieves, right? Because they're not welcome. They're trying to come in through the window or through some other way. And what he's telling the Pharisees here is this. You guys are a bunch of thieves because you're trying to come into heaven, not through Jesus Christ. And in fact, the Bible tells us, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you take away the key of knowledge, and they hinder those who are trying to enter in." They're false prophets and false teachers who are trying to teach a different way of salvation. They have another gospel, and God says, "You're thieves." You say, "Well, why is he calling Satan a thief?" Well, because the Bible tells us that these people are sons of the devil. Okay? They're sons of Satan, who he himself is trying to, through various religions in this world, right, try to create a different way of getting into heaven, which obviously he knows there is no other way. He's deceiving the nations into thinking that there is. Through, you know, Islam, through Catholicism, through Mormonism, through Buddhism, and all the other isms, trying to veer them off of the true Christianity, the true way of salvation. That's why he calls him the thief, because of the fact that Satan's agenda is to remove the key of knowledge, to remove the understanding that salvation can only be obtained through Jesus Christ and believing on him. Okay? So we see here that he comes to steal, but he also comes to kill. Go to John chapter 8. This is all introduction here. He comes to steal, but he also comes to kill. What does that mean? Look at John chapter 8, verse 44, speaking of also the Pharisees, which were adherents to Judaism. It says in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Notice that it says that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Now, who is that in reference to? Well, the first murderer in history is Cain, who killed his brother who was righteous because his works were evil. So what do we see? How can we apply that to Satan and his agenda? Well, Satan desires to kill the righteous. He desires to silence the righteous man. He hates the righteous man. You know who Satan's greatest enemies are? Pastors of today who are preaching the word of God, who are actually expounding the truth, who are standing for the Bible. That's his greatest enemy. What does he want to do? He wants to kill them. He wants to silence them. Claim that they're doing hate speech and, you know, these people are hate mongers and don't listen to these people. Just as Cain tried to kill or did kill Abel, even so today, Satan, through his minions, through his principalities, through his false teachers, are trying to kill the man of God. Now, in a practical spiritual way, so to speak, they're trying to silence us through YouTube or whatever, taking down our videos. But you know what? In the end times, we see that Satan, the Antichrist, will make war with the saints and will prevail against them. He will actually physically put them to death. So we see that Satan's agenda is what? Well, number one, he seeks to steal, take away the key of knowledge of how to get saved. Two, he wants to kill, silence the man of God. Why? Because he's the one who's actually preaching the real gospel. He's the one who's actually preaching the word of God. And he understands that the Bible has power behind it, that the world can overcome him through the knowledge of the truth. But then it also says that he seeks to destroy. So he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, why is that? It seems redundant to say that he's coming to kill and that he's coming to destroy. Aren't they one and the same? Well, I don't believe so. I believe when he talks about that he comes to destroy, it's insinuating that he's basically a tool of God for destruction. That God is using Satan to destroy. Who? Christians. Oh, hold on a second. What in the world? Well, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Right. That when someone is involved in sin,
You excommunicate them out of the church, and you give them over to who? Satan. For what? For the destruction of the flesh.
Right.
You see the Apostle Paul giving over Hymenaeus and Alexander, right? To Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You have an entire book called Job, where God uses Satan to destroy Job to teach him a lesson, right? To basically show that he's righteous and to be an example unto us, to show that he's a man of like passions, so we can read it and understand that aforetime that these things are written for our learning, that we can learn from his life. So we see here that Satan is not just some loose cannon that God cannot control. Satan is actually on a very short leash. And he can only destroy and cause destruction through the permission of God. And in fact, he even uses them to destroy God's people when needed. Okay? And what should that do to us? Should that cause us to fear Satan? No, that should cause us to fear God.
Amen.
Because he's the one who actually gives the green light.
Right.
You know, when Satan actually comes and accuses us before the brethren, it's up to God to be able to say, well, go ahead and destroy his life. But, you know, don't destroy this part, don't destroy that part. Why? Because he's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal the knowledge of salvation, kill the righteous man, and destroy what he can. Okay? That's what he wants to do. Now, go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Now, look, we should never have this attitude that Satan is just this weakling of an angel who's incapable of anything. You know? To a certain extent, you know, there should be a sense of fear, knowing the fact that God can use him to destroy our lives. He does have power. He does have authority. And look, this isn't a charismatic, Pentecostal, rebuke Satan, you know, go to battle with Satan kind of a church. I've known people who literally say, yeah, my dad, you know, he was this Pentecostal guy. He's like, my dad in his dreams kills demons, you know. I'm like, what does he eat before he goes to sleep? Now I'm trying to have some of those dreams. That sounds kind of cool. You know, he was like, yeah, every night he has a sword, and, or he has the word of God, and it manifests itself like a sword, and he's just like slaying demons and stuff. I'm like, man, woe to his wife. Sleeping next to him, you know. I mean, have you ever had someone like, you ever sleep next to someone, and they're just like, you know they're having a nightmare or something? Okay, I'm going to embarrass my wife right now. She knew I was coming here. You know, my wife was having a nightmare the other day, and she just smacked me right on the stomach. You know, she was just like, and she's like, I'm sorry. She had a dream like my son was drowning or something like that. And then, like, I'm like, hey, it's cool, you know. Just scoot over a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But he used to claim that. He used to claim that his dad used to be able to do that. That's foolishness and folly. You know, that's just too many onions on your burger the night before. That's just gas, okay? That's whatever. You know, that's you making this stuff up. That's not how we fight Satan. Okay? You cannot kill a demon. It's an everlasting being. Now, they will suffer everlasting punishment in a place called hell, but you can't annihilate the demons or whatever, you know? And, you know, they get this from movies who, you know, try to make it seem as though you can destroy demons and all that stuff. That's nonsense. That's not how we fight Satan, okay? The Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible tells us that he can devour us. Now, he does it through our weaknesses. He does it through different avenues that we're going to expound upon today. But just know this, is that Satan is a person. I'm not saying that should be respected, but you should understand that he does have power. He does have authority. And look, he's the god of this world, according to the Bible. Okay, so let me go through some lists here. What can Satan do? Well, let's start off with the unsaved first. Let's give some practical doctrine here of what Satan can do. Number one, Satan can infiltrate and blind the minds of the masses. And that's what he's actually already done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So why is he blinding the minds of the masses? Why is he infiltrating their minds? Just to keep them from the gospel. Because his number one agenda is this: to send people to hell, to bring people to hell with him. Now, specifically says blinding the masses. And why does he say that? Or excuse me, blind the minds. Because our minds is what we use to understand concepts. Our mind is what we use to understand doctrine. Our mind is what we use to process information. Specifically, most importantly, and in context, the information of the gospel. And look, if you don't believe that, go soul winning pretty consistently. Go through the entire gospel. And then at the end say, you know, do you believe you could lose your salvation? Oh, of course. I mean, how many of you have ever run into something like that? They agree with you like all the way through. And at the end, it's just like, so what do you have to do to get, you know, to go to heaven? Be a good person. Do good works. It's like, what in the world? And at the end of the day, you know, I'm guilty of this. I get frustrated with people like that. Now, I don't express my frustrations toward them. But you do get frustrated with people like that. But you know what it is? Their minds are blinded. It's like, hello? Anybody there? What in the world have we been talking about the last 15, you know, 10, 15 minutes? You know what it is? Their minds are blinded. Their minds are not able to process the information and understand the gospel. It's because Satan has blinded them. Go to Luke chapter number 8, if you would. Luke chapter number 8. Hey, this is why our church strongly believes in this matter of soul winning. Amen? Amen. And when we say we believe in soul winning, we take it so serious that we specifically have teams in our church and team leaders who are designated to train our people how to effectively preach the gospel. Because we don't want any soul winner in our church to go out half-heartedly and not do a good job. Amen. We want our people to become effective soul winners, effective in their gospel presentation. Why? Because we're running into people whose minds are blinded. And we have to help them overcome these false ideologies, false doctrine, and whatever thing comes into their mind that is keeping them from getting saved. Okay? Look at Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Skip down to verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. So who's the fowl in verse number 5? Satan. And taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, we often say, hey, that person didn't get saved, but at least we sowed a seed. You know, but sometimes that seed is actually stolen. That seed is taken. You know, that's why it's important that when we go soul winning, we try to get as much scripture in there as possible, right? To help them to understand. And even then, after salvation, we try to give them even more scripture just to kind of ground them. You know, because even if someone gets saved, even if someone trusts Christ as their Savior, you know, they can still be deceived. Not that they could lose their salvation, but they can still be deceived even thereafter regarding other things. Doubting God's word, whatever it may be. But we see here that Satan comes and he takes the word out of their hearts lest they should understand. Okay? Now, how does he do this? How is it that he can infiltrate and blind the minds? How is it that he can keep people from understanding the gospel? Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. What are the avenues that Satan uses to blind the masses? And let me say this, each and every one of you, myself included, we're all blind at one time. Yeah. You know, we're not a Calvinistic church that believes that, you know, we're the elect to the point that we're always saved even before the womb. And God chose us for salvation and damned other people. That's poppycock. Okay? That's foolishness and folly. That's unbiblical. You know, all of us at one point were not saved. Okay? Until a person came with the gospel, gave us the word of God, we trusted Christ as our Savior, and everyone here had something you have to overcome. Maybe some more than others. Okay? What are the avenues? Well, number one, the world system. The world system is an avenue, is a tool that Satan uses to blind the masses. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now think about that. The preaching of the cross to us, what does it say? But unto us which are saved is the power of God. We understand that preaching the gospel has power, that it can get someone saved, that it can rescue someone from the fire, But there are people out there who actually think that the preaching of the cross is foolishness. It's stupidity. It's childish. This is for children. Right? Why is that? Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of the world of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, that's why we don't believe in apologetics. That's why we don't believe in like debating where there's two stools and a timer and a prize at the end. Because we're not trying to expound wisdom. We believe in the preaching of the cross, amen? Amen. Preach Christ and Him crucified, amen? Amen. Oh, you know, you got to show them archaeological finds of the Bible and the Ark of the Covenant and Noah's Ark. No, you don't. Amen. You know, the only sign they shall receive is the fact that Jesus Christ said that He resurrected, amen? Right. The witness of God, of His Son, that God had given of His Son. So we see that the wisdom of the world can blind the masses. How is that? Through revolution. That's why we do not advocate the public school system at all. Amen. Now, I went to a public school, okay? And, you know, luckily I didn't pay attention much. I did pay attention some, you know, but the public school system is a system meant not to teach education, but to indoctrinate the masses to keep them from getting saved. Now, the teachers and the principals may not have that specific agenda, but their ruler, which is Satan, does. These are his institutions. And by the way, they're just as bad as the Mormons, as the Mormon temple. They're just as bad as the synagogue of Satan. They're just as bad as, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Why? Because it's a false doctrine. It's a false ideology that has the agenda of blinding the minds of the masses. And in fact, the school systems are worse because they get them from very young. They stay there for 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, indoctrinating them with evolution, making them think that they came from some soup, primordial soup, that they came from a monkey. And they wonder why they act like animals. Big Bang Theory. These are things that they use, that Satan uses to blind the masses. He said, how can the Big Bang Theory be used to try to keep people from getting saved? Because at that point, they think, well, if this is what science says, then what the Bible says must not be true. Because of the fact that the Bible teaches that God created the heavens and the earth, that God is the one who created a mature earth. You know, when Adam was made, he was made a full-grown man. When he made a tree, it was a mature tree. Everything was mature. But students from public schools, they look at that and say, well, that's stupid. You know, how can that be? You know, evolution, Big Bang. And what does that do? That blinds them. That causes them to be blind and to reject the gospel. Now, there are people who previously believed in evolution and in the Big Bang, and then they got saved. And guess what? They believed the word of God. Right. But they had to overcome that world system. They had to overcome that false teaching. Okay? You know, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. Go to 1 John chapter number 5. So secular education can undermine and mock the Bible. And look, people listen to something like that, you're like, oh, you guys are all about the Bible, not about knowledge. No, we're about knowledge, amen? Amen. But we're about the right type of knowledge. Amen. A knowledge that stems from correct information. Amen. History books that don't lie. Amen. Okay? You know, now you got faggots, you know, transvestites trying to teach our children, you know. They go to these libraries where all these children are at, and they have some disgusting beast of a person doing story time. They're not trying to teach them knowledge. They're trying to indoctrinate them to keep them from getting saved. Now look, these people cannot be made a reprobate through just them teaching them that. But you know what? They are creating a foundation for them to reject the gospel, which ultimately will cause them to be a reprobate. Okay? Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our wisdom? No, our faith. So we don't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the wisdom, like, oh yeah, I did all this research about the Bible and the archaeological finds and all these things, and I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. No, it's faith. We have to believe it by faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm not interested in getting to a debate with the person at the door to try to convince them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I just tell them, this is what the Bible says. Do you believe it? If they say no, then guess what? Time to move on. Right. Now, I'll give them scriptures, you know, but the Bible tells us that after a while, we have to reject those people because they are subverted, okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we see that Satan, he infiltrates and blinds the minds of the masses. Look, that's what, hey, we're all in our church, and look, if you think something different, we're not judging you. We're not thinking you're a horrible person. But you know what? In our church, we believe in homeschool.
Amen.
What better person to teach the children than the parents themselves? And in fact, that has been deputized to the parents to do that. To teach them knowledge. Okay? Why? Because you put these the children in these secularized, God-hating institutions, they're going to learn something that's not biblical. In fact, the vast majority of what they're learning is not biblical. Well, they're just there to learn English. You teach them English. Now look, let me say this. Let me just chase a rabbit here. Okay? I mentioned this on Thursday. Like, you know, we're against Bible college.
Amen. Amen.
Through and through. I preached a sermon called "The Way of Bible College, The Way of the Heathen. And I believe it 110%.
Amen.
And I know by experience. So I'm not just saying that. I know because I went to Bible college. I was a student of Bible college and I was a teacher there as well. I saw the fruit thereof. Okay? But here's the thing. Because I'm against Bible college, now I have the responsibility to actually teach more Bible to the congregation. Okay? And in like manner, because you're against Bible college, that's great. But now you have the responsibility to pay attention so much the more in church. So that means not every sermon is going to be bombastic. Some sermons are just going to be a lot of information and doctrine. And guess what? You're against Bible college? Okay, well, here's the class. Amen? Time to learn. We're against the public schools? Great. But now we have to take the responsibility to make up for that, right? To teach our children knowledge, to help them to become, you know, knowledgeable members of society. Okay? To teach them knowledge, math, science, English, all these things that we want them to learn. They're not going to get it in the public school system. And don't fool yourself into thinking that they will. I've known people that in high school that literally graduated did not even know how to read.
What?
Did not know how to read.
They graduated?
Yes, they graduated. Because they don't care about whether you know how to read or not.
Right. Yeah.
That's not their goal. Okay? You know, you should learn how to read early on. And look, I learned how to read probably when I was in the second grade. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, second grade is when I learned how to read. Okay? And I specifically remember because my brother was a reader, my sister was a reader, and I would see them read, and I didn't know how to read in the first grade. And literally, it bothered me. I remember being, how old is someone in the second grade? Someone tell me.
Seven?
I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm so embarrassed that I can't read. And I went to my teacher. I specifically remember going to my teacher and in second grade, and it was like her first day of class. And I went up to her and I said, I have one question for you. Are you going to teach us how to read? Because I don't know how to read. And I was like so embarrassed that she was like calling us to read and stuff like that. But you know what? It's because they don't really care whether you learn or not. And she said yes, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think she even taught me how to read. I think it was through like my brother and Goosebumps. I'm serious. Like I think it was through those two avenues that I just learned how to read. And my brother would just bring books to me and he'd just say, read this and I'll buy you a saxophone. He wouldn't give me the saxophone, but at least I read the book. Buy this and I'll buy you a PS whatever. Never got the PS, but I read the book. Hey, and I'm thankful that he never bought that for me anyways. So, but here's the thing is, you know, you teach your children how to read. You teach your children English. You teach your children that which you would want them to learn. And the responsibility is a lot heavier on you now because, you know what? Better you to teach them than to put them in the hands of some secularized, sodomite-loving devil
That's right.
To teach them And they're not even teaching them education. They're not even getting an education. Okay? So how does he blind the minds? Well, he does it through false ideology, the world system, but he also does it through religious institutions and false teachers. So he blinds the minds of the masses through religious institutions and false teachers. Let me read to you from Galatians 1:6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. So Satan has a category for every single human being in this world. You know, if religion doesn't appeal to you, then the secular world will, right? The colleges, the universities, and these institutions that teach, that claim they can teach you higher learning, that's for them. But the end game is, the goal is still the same. Blind them. And what about people like, well, I'm against those, you know, college institutions. It's about God. It's about the Bible. Well, he has something for them too. False teachers and religious institutions. You know, and look, I'm not just talking about the Mormons. I'm not just talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not just talking about the Pentecostals. I'm talking about Baptist churches too. Because Baptist is as close as you can get to the Bible, amen? So you don't think he would raise up these Baptist churches who are teaching a false gospel to blind the masses? You know, uses these institutions to teach a false gospel. They might even teach other things that are right. They might even teach the Trinity. They might teach that the King James Bible is the Word of God. But guess what? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do, right? If they don't have the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ, then it's meaningless. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Skip down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So what is the Bible telling us here? That there's another gospel. Yea, there's another Jesus. Who came up with them? Satan. These other Jesuses, these other gospels were created by Satan. And while I'm on the subject, verse 13, for such are false apostles. Let me name one today. You know, the guy from La Luz del Mundo. This pedophile, disgusting piece of crap, false apostle, who I called out months before, part of this wicked institution called La Luz del Mundo, who has reached many people and damned many souls. His grandfather created that institution, some fag pedophile. Then his dad took over, fag pedophile. And guess what? The rotten apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Because this same guy was just arrested in LAX for pedophilia and child rape. Wicked, disgusting guy. He's going to burn in hell. He's twice dead, plucked up by the roots. False apostles. You know, oh man, you shouldn't say that. What about the people who are in that church? They're a bunch of idiots. Amen. They're idiots.
Come on. Amen.
Look, if you stay there knowing all that, and look, I went to La Luz del Mundo, okay? I went there when I was like 17. You said, why did you go there? Were you looking for the truth? No, a girl that I liked invited me. You know, this girl who was in high school, you know, I was trying to talk to her and I was not saved. And she said, well, you know, I can only date you if you actually come to my church. I'm just, where's it at? Give me the address. And I remember going there. This was in Long Beach. I remember going there and I was just like, this is kind of weird. You know, the guy sat on one side, the lady sat on the other. They wore these head coverings. You know, they were just like, they had this holier-than-thou attitude. No instruments, all humming and weeping and wailing throughout the service. They would switch their pastors every 3 years so you wouldn't get attached to them. And super self-righteous, pompous. And I remember thinking to myself, like, obviously, I wasn't saved, but I believed in Jesus. Like, I believed in God and I believed in Jesus. And I remember thinking to myself, like, because they would always talk about the apostle.
If it wasn't for the apostle, we wouldn't have this, we wouldn't have that, just apostle this, apostle that. And I went there for the girl, but I thought to myself, when are you guys going to talk about like Jesus? Isn't that what we're supposed to be like? Isn't he God? And I wasn't saved, but I had enough sense to know that. And I said, and they said, well, if it wasn't for the apostle, we wouldn't know of Jesus. Now, I knew that Jesus was the way of salvation. I just didn't know it was by faith. And I remember like asking one of the people there, I said, so what if like someone out there in the world only knows of Jesus, but they don't know of, you know, the apostle? You know, they only know Jesus, so they, will that person go to heaven if they only know of Jesus and not the apostle? Now, obviously, even I was wrong doctrinally on that, because you have to trust Christ, you have to believe on him. But this is my way of thinking, and this is what that person said. Well, if that person goes to heaven, it's because the apostle knew them. Not because they knew Jesus, it's because the apostle knew them. I was like, what in the world? I'm like, these people are stupid. And I went there for like a month, and I was just like, you know what? Fool you on this, I'm leaving. Because it was just like, it was just weird. And you know what? I was right. Years later, when I started looking into the Luz del Mundo after I got saved, I'm like, these people are wicked. Wicked. Why? Because their apostle is wicked. Okay? And what is he? He's a puppet of Satan. Amen. You say, well, you know, there's still a lot of people that don't believe on him, but you know what? There's a category that does. Of this world. There's a segment of this world who can be so stupid to believe in such a false doctrine, and Satan put that false apostle there to deceive even them. Yep. You know, unfortunately, I had a friend who was a Catholic, and he got into that stupid religion because of his girlfriend, and he used to talk all kinds of trash on that religion and on the apostle. I met him a couple years ago. He wanted to meet my family, and he told me he was a part of it. I'm like, what in the world are you talking? I'd rather you just stay a Catholic. I think you have more of a hope of getting saved just being a Catholic. And I remember, like, I tried witnessing to him and telling him, like, hey, you know, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, there are false apostles. I was like, that guy's a pedophile. He molests children. And he was just, like, not having it. And I remember he dropped me off at my house and he said, hey, next time I come, don't ever talk to me about religion ever again. I said, don't worry, there won't be a next time.
Right.
This is the last time we're going to see each other. He's a heretic. Right. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality. Okay? So he does it through these false institutions. He does it through independent fundamental Baptist churches who, you know, these Bible college graduates who are wolves in sheep's clothing, who use Bible college to basically look the part, right? Know what Baptists believe, and then they bring in their damnable heresy. You know, there's a guy like that, like the next city over, amen?
Amen.
Who claims to be a Baptist pastor, and he's this hyper dipstick sensationalist, teaching a false gospel, telling people don't study the Bible, just know Jesus. Wow. Talking about that the Jews have their own rapture. Nonsense.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just deceived. He's a tool of Satan.
Right.
Oh, how big is the church? Not that big, but still, you know what? That's Satan has sent that devil to even deceive that pocket of people. He's trying to cover all his bases. Go to Matthew chapter 19. So he blinds the man. I might have to do a part two tonight because I'm like not done with my notes at all. Makes me mad. You know? It makes me mad because of the fact that saved people actually defend some of these people out here. Saved people! Satan blinds the masses. He infiltrates and blinds the masses through a world system, through false ideologies, through, you know, deceitful workers and religious institutions that are anti-salvation. But he also uses the love of money to blind the masses. The Bible tells us, I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, sometimes people just don't get saved because they're just too rich. And I honestly believe that Satan actually blesses people with so much money to basically keep them from getting saved. So hey, be thankful you're poor, amen?
Be thankful you broke sometimes. Because God has chosen us to be rich in faith. Right? Look at Matthew 19, verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is why no one in Hollywood would ever get saved.
That's right.
This is why, you know, Bill Gates will never get saved. Okay? Because of the fact that they have so much riches, and these riches really not only cause them to deny God, to deny the word of God, but it causes them to have a corrupt and wicked heart. Which ultimately causes them to reject the gospel. I'm sure all these people have gotten the gospel. Every person in Hollywood, I guarantee you, have gotten the gospel. Okay? But they rejected it. And what Satan does is he allows them to accumulate all these riches and finances to keep them from getting saved. It blinds them. Look, it blinds Christians. Covetousness can blind even a Christian. You wanna create a lukewarm, good-for-nothing Christian? Just give them a bunch of riches. Why? Because it's the root of all evil. It can create an appetite for the things of this world, for the possessions of this world. It can cause someone to be greedy and covetous, not content with the things that God has provided. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ will never leave us nor forsake us, and that is in context of being content with the things of this world. Money can cause you to stray. It can cause you not to go to church. It can cause you to not prioritize the Bible. It can cause you to lose sight of that which is most important. But for those who are not saved, it can just cause them not to get saved. Okay? That's why when we go soul winning, the most unreceptive areas are the rich areas. I mean, you know, there's a couple rich areas here, but I remember when I was in Long Beach, they had this area called Bixby Knolls. Okay? And Bixby Knolls was a rich area. And when the first day I went soul winning, I went with my father-in-law, and he said, Brother Mejia, he's like, you know, you decided to go soul winning on this day, but, you know, we're going to a really nice area, and typically people aren't really open here. And in fact, he said, there's Jews here. Now, here's the thing, is like, he wasn't anti-Zionist. Like, he was Zionist, but he had enough smarts to understand that Jews probably are not going to get saved. Okay? And Bixby Knolls was, like, filled with Jews. There's a lot of Jews there. They have a synagogue there. You have the guys walking around in their robes and their the curly sideburns and stuff. And I remember, like, literally the first door we knocked on, he went to them, and it was a really nice house. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm Pastor Joe Esposito from Pacific Baptist Church. Want to give you this invite. More important than that, are you 100% sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? And he goes, yeah, of course, because I go to the synagogue. And my father was like, okay. Well, you know, the Bible said, and then he began to give the gospel. The guy was like, I'm not interested, and he just closed the door. You know? But that's not just Jews. That's just rich people in general, too. You know, you go to some of these rich areas, it's like they don't want the gospel because of the fact that they're trusting in their riches. Okay? That's where they feel they get their value from. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. He also does it through programming the minds of the masses through entertainment. Okay, you know, if the kid fails at school, he doesn't even go to school, okay, but he doesn't go to church, some false church, okay, it's all right. He has a teacher sitting right in front of him called television, called movies, and they teach doctrine too. Satan covers all the bases. You know, he'll use, you know, if the kid's too dumb and he's not willing to read a book, but he could care less about the things of God. Well, it's all right. They got Superman. Who is this fake Jesus, right? Isn't that what he is?
Yeah.
Don't you try to paint Superman as being like the savior of the world?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, all these movies, they not only promote
a false way of salvation, a false savior, but they also desensitize the masses to filth, disgusting, perverted sodomites. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And look, movies indoctrinate people. I remember, like, when I first got saved, I tried witnessing to one of my friends, and I was explaining to him, you know, I was giving him the gospel, and at the end of our conversation, he said, you know, I don't really think it works that way. I think, like, you know, Gabriel, the angel, is actually, like, the enemy, and he's trying to do, like, a deal. Basically, he was, like, telling me the plot to a movie called Constantine. And I'm not joking. I'm like, didn't you get that from Constantine? And he's like, wow, well, I think that's how it is. I'm like, that's a movie. Isn't, like, Neo on there? Like, Keanu Reeves? That guy's gonna go to hell. But you know what? We laugh, but you know what? A lot of people believe in that stuff. They get their beliefs from movies. I mean, the whole Star Wars fan club. You know, Michio Okaka, who believes that, like, the greatest technological advancement that we can ever find is level 3, which is like Star Wars or something like that. People believe in that stuff. So they might reject school. They might reject going to any type of a church. Oh, it's okay. Satan has a buffet of false ideologies to blind the masses, and one of them is movies. Shows, television shows, all these things that are indoctrinated, they have writers, they have scribes who write these things out to fool the masses. And I can go on and on about that, but I'm almost out of time. Go to Acts chapter 16. Let me give you my last point here, and I'm just going to have to do a part two tonight. So he can, what does he do? What can Satan do? Well, he can blind and infiltrate the masses, and we said through the different avenues there, but he can also possess the common people. We're talking about demon possession here. Now, how does he do this? Well, one, he does it through mind-altering drugs, substances. Okay, marijuana, you know, heroin, these things, alcohol. He can infiltrate the minds of the masses and possess them through mind-altering drugs. Isaiah 66 verse 4 says, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Now, if you don't believe me, every once in a while, we'll have this demon-possessed woman out here.
Yeah.
I think she even interrupted our service one day. You know, she's demon-possessed, but you know what? She's on drugs. Because that's what drugs do to you. Drugs fry your brain. Yeah. By the way, that's why just stay away from any type of substance like that.
Amen.
Oh, you know, a little puff here of some ganja. Never hurt anybody. Yeah, you want to get your mind altered? You, as a Christian, you're not going to get possessed because you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But still, Satan can mess with your mind.
Right.
I know people who are in like their 60s and 70s who... Their brains are fried because they had a bad acid trip back in the 60s and 70s or whatever. They're so dumb to look at the sun because they thought they could see the flares in the sun and they went blind. Well, Tuz is like, yeah, that's dumb. Well, I mean, really? Yeah, well, that's a segment of the population that Satan's trying to reach. And he does it through drugs, okay? Does it through marijuana. Does it through alcohol. But another avenue is music. That's how he possesses people. He does it through music. Gangster rap. Rock. Dr. Dre. Dr. Gay. You know? All the NWA, all these gangster rappers. And by the way, let me just let you in on a little secret if you're struggling with gangster rap. They're all faggots. So think about that the next time when you pop it in, you're bobbing your head to a homo. And look, if you didn't know that, then, you know, you're weird. Because there's this gangster rapper called Tekashi 6ix9ine. This rainbow colored homo. The guy's a sodomite.
Yeah.
Talking about killing this and killing that. Yeah. You say, yeah, well, he's so gangster because he talks about killing people. Yeah, because they're full of murder.
Right. Right.
That's why they're inventors of evil things.
Yep.
Let's talk about Drake. Okay. And those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Just tune out. Who are these youngsters listening to, you know? Drake, he's a sodomite.
Yep.
He said himself, regarding an article, because he put out some video, I never saw it, but he was dancing like a homo. And they're like, hey, are you a homo? Are you a homosexual? He's like, no, I just got possessed by a homosexual demon. He is a homosexual demon. That's what it is. Dr. Dre is a sodomite. All these guys, you know, and you know what they do? They use their, look, Satan is a master at music. He's a master musician. So he uses music, and music can influence you. You know, I'm not going to quote it right, but in the book of Exodus, when Moses was on the mount speaking to God, you know, God told him that the people were corrupting themselves. And then Aaron listened. He said, oh, there's war in the camp. And then when he listened, he said, it is not the sound of war, but of people singing. So Aaron, when he heard it, he's like, oh, it sounds like war. It sounds like there's fighting going on. And Moses said, no, these are people singing. So the music that they were listening to was likened unto war. It's like rock music. Music that you listen to just gets you mad, makes you want to fight and be violent, you know. And by the way, if you're trying to overcome, you know, smoking weed and the gangster lifestyle, put away the music. Because that's what drives your emotions to be that way. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. It's better to hear the rebuke of Brother Mejia than for a man to hear the song of fools. That's a whole sermon in of itself. Music. Okay? And how it can influence you to be the kind of person that God doesn't want you to be. Hey, that's why it's important that we sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs.
Amen.
Singing to make a melody in your hearts unto the Lord. I just don't have enough, you know, godly hatred. Then sing Psalm 139. Amen?
Amen.
That'll help. Sing the hymns. Sing the spiritual songs. That'll help you to walk in the spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then lastly, I'm going to finish on this point right here. Is he also does it through the occult. He can possess the common people through the occult. Okay. Now, where have you turned? Acts 16?
Yeah.
Look what Acts 16 verse 16 says. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. It says that this damsel was possessed with the spirit of divination. That's the occult. That's why we should stay away from any kind of idolatry. Hey, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Never mess with Ouija boards, fortune telling, eight ball, you know, kind of thing. You know, anything that has to do with the occult, stay away from it. Because you may not be able to be possessed by those things, but I believe we can be oppressed by those things. And unsaved people get possessed by these things all the time. You know, we rip on the reprobate Baptist pastors who are preaching a false gospel. They're possessed. The Calvinists, the John MacArthur's of this world, they're possessed by devils. And they're possessed in a different way than these people would be possessed, but nonetheless, they're possessed by demons.
Yep.
Okay? And he could control people like that. You think of Jim Jones, right? The man was possessed.
Yeah.
You think of these cult leaders, they are possessed. We need to stay away from the occult and anything that has to do with the occult. Never promote it. Never try to even mess with it.
Amen.
We reject it completely. Okay? Be wise unto good, simple concerning evil, the Bible says. I'm going to have to finish right there. Tonight, I'll talk about how he can puppeteer rulers of this world.
okay, and use them to carry out his agenda. So what's the sermon this morning? You know, we just talked about what Satan can do, and we're not even done with what he can do to the unsaved. But we're also going to talk about what he can't do, okay? So I encourage you to be here tonight for that part two of this sermon. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we're thankful that you've given us the promise that we could overcome the wicked one. And how is that? Well, through the word of God that abides in us. And thank you so much for helping us to overcome him. First of all, by getting saved. We can never go to hell. We have eternal life. But on our on a day-to-day basis, we can continually have victory over the battles through the word of God that dwells in us. And Lord, but help us not to be ignorant of his devices. Help us to understand what he's capable of doing. So we would not fall into the traps, but also so we can understand even the condition of lost people and how vulnerable they are to Satan. And that's why it's important for us to give them the gospel, to get them saved, and to make this a priority in our lives. And Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.